Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Well, today we're going to do part three in our series that we've been doing called Holding On to the Promises of God. Now, in part one, we looked at the fact that God's promises are based on His unchanging character and nature, plus the fact, remember, that He cannot lie or deceive us or mislead us in any way. God is perfectly good. He's also completely loving, and so His promises are a reflection of who He is. And His promises are always good simply because, well, He is always good. Then in part two, we saw that all of God's promises are available to believers through our relationship with Jesus. However, remember, some of them are conditional, meaning that there is often a response of obedience that is required from us in order to activate them. And a great example that we looked at was from the book of Matthew 6, verse 33. And here we see the promise that Jesus gives from the Father. And He says that He will give you everything you need. Now, I'm sure you'd agree that's a wonderful promise from God, that He'll give us everything we need. But then we also see that there's an activation that comes before it. And it's this. Jesus said, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously." And once we've done that, we then activate the promise of God that says He will give you everything that you need. You know, I think most Christians want to receive everything that God has for their lives, but unfortunately, many are not willing to do what God wants them to do first, so that through the obedience, they can activate the wonderful promises that God has for them. You know, I read a very interesting news article this past week. Perhaps you saw it too. And the article said that the Japanese government has now created a new government position. And what they've done is they've appointed a minister for loneliness. That's right, a minister for loneliness. And this follows a sharp rise in the number of suicides and the impact of the coronavirus on the people. In fact, last year alone, 20,919 people in Japan committed suicide. You know, Japan's known for its high levels of social isolation, partly because of its culture of long working hours, which has now been amplified by the COVID pandemic. But many people in Japan also live on their own. And so in response to calls for action over social isolation and the rising suicide rates, the Prime Minister of Japan has appointed a guy called Tetsushi Sakamoto. That's a great name, Tetsushi Sakamoto, to the newly created role of Minister for Loneliness. You know, the reality is that we don't need a minister for loneliness when the Bible tells us that we already have a high priest, the Lord Jesus, who is available to us as the fulfillment of all God's promises. And He's promised that He will never leave our side. And we also won't have to try and navigate all of life's issues and difficulties on our own. We're reminded of this in Hebrews 4 from verse 14. And the Bible says, "So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin." Now we get to verse 16 where we see the activation of the promise. "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God." And then once we've activated, we then see the promise. And the promise is this, that there at the throne of our gracious God, we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Friend, help is available to all who need it through the promises of God. But again, if you have no relationship with God and you don't know the promises of God that He's made available to you, well, then you will live without hope and you will also become very discouraged and very depressed about what the future looks like. A man by the name of William Carey, who was the great English missionary to India, once said that the future is as bright as the promises of God. You know, a great example in Scripture of someone who stepped into all that God had promised to him was Abraham. Abraham's regarded as one of the great heroes of the faith, and everything that he received from God came out of his relationship with the Lord. And like with Abraham, God also has a wonderful future planned for all of us today, but we have to lay hold of his promises, and unfortunately, not everyone does. And let me just say, that's not because the promises aren't real or true or because they cannot be trusted. No, no, God's promises are as real as anything you and I can see or touch, but they also require a faith response from us to activate that which God has initiated. And so today I want us to look at some of the things that Abraham needed to do that you and I can also do to receive the good promises that God has for our lives. The first thing we see is this, is that we have to trust in the Lord who gives the promise. You know, Abraham only encountered God late in his life. He was already an old man, and you know, up to that point, he had lived well, he was comfortable, he had wealth, life was mostly good, but there was one thing missing from Abraham's life. He and his wife Sarah had been unable to have children. You know, they'd seemingly been married for many years and were now into old age. All their friends' children were already grown up and having children of their own. But for Abraham and Sarah, well, this was a burden they carried with them wherever they went. And at their age, it was now impossible physically for them to conceive. And I guess they'd both settled in their hearts that they would live out the rest of their lives, just the two of them. But after Abraham responded to the Lord's calling, God made Abraham a promise that, listen, it would have sounded ridiculous at the time. And we read in Genesis 15, verse 1, it says that sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But Abraham replied, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." And it says, "Then the Lord took Abram out and said to him, 'Look up into the sky and count all the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have.'" Now, of course, Abraham could have responded like many of us probably would have responded by saying, "Oh, Lord, thanks, but you know, I don't think so. You do know how old I am, Lord, and you know, I'm sure you've seen what Sarah looks like. I mean, she's all wrinkled and very old by now, but the Bible says that's not how Abraham responded. We see in verse 6, it says, "And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith." You see, before Abraham could receive the promise of God, he had to believe in the God who gives the promise. You know, he couldn't just dismiss God and what the Lord was saying and then still hope to magically receive what God had promised. No, no, Abraham had to believe the promise of God. You know, it's a bit like saying, "Well, I want to drive a really nice, fancy, expensive car, but I don't even believe in the existence of cars." I mean, that just doesn't make sense. You see, many people want to receive good things in life and be blessed, but many don't even acknowledge the existence of God, while others try to make God into a version of who they'd like him to be. But remember, God is who he is. He's unchanging. And in order for us to receive the promises of God, we must believe two things. Firstly is this, we must believe that God is who he says he is. We have to believe that God is who he says he is. But secondly, we must believe that God will do what he says he will do. You know, those two things are really foundational if we are to have any relationship with God. And if you don't trust God, well, you won't be able to trust his promises. Because every time he gives a promise, you know, you'll probably be thinking, oh, I'm not sure God knows what he's really doing. And I'm not quite sure if God is still in control of world events. You know, I'm also not sure about everything in the Bible because, you know, I read things there and times are changing and maybe God needs to update himself. No, no, trust is foundational to any relationship, especially our relationship with God. And because his promises are accessed through relationship with him, if there's no trust, well, then there's no access to the promises of God. Christine Kane, the author and pastor, put it so nicely when she said, "The same God who brought you here is the God who will take you there. Stop worrying about how and trust him. He who promised is faithful." Can you say amen to that? Then secondly is this, is believe the promise by faith, even when it seems impossible. Believe the promise by faith, even when it seems impossible. You know, I've realized that many of God's promises at the time seem impossible because I guess if they didn't, well, we'd be able to conjure it up on our own and we wouldn't even need to trust God or rely on his promises by faith. And yet that is the very power that God's promises hold for our lives. They cause us to believe beyond what is natural and beyond what can be reasoned. You know, the promises of God elevate our lives. They uplift us. They strengthen our faith to believe for things that cannot be accessed by natural means. You know, I know that in my life, without the promises of God, I've got very little to hold on to. You know, I'm not clever enough to be successful on my own. I need God's promises to lead me and to guide me and to hold on to. I've also recognized that I'm not smart enough to provide for all my own needs. I need God's promises of provision and blessing to hold on to. I'm also not physically able to protect myself from sickness and disease and dangerous situations that I might find myself in. I need God's promises of protection over my life and over my health. And I also have to acknowledge, as we all do, that I'm not good enough to get to heaven on my own. You know, like you, I desperately need God's promise of salvation and forgiveness. And it's in believing the promise by faith that we step into what God has prepared for our future. You know, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 11, it says that it was by faith that even Sarah, I love that, even Sarah, nobody thought Sarah would have children, but it says by faith, even Sarah was able to have a child, though, watch this, she was barren and she was too old. Two facts we see there. Sarah was barren, that meant she couldn't have kids. She was too old, which meant she couldn't have kids. Despite those two facts, even Sarah had a child. But the, watch what the Bible says. It says she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. Church, you know what I've realized is that God loves using people and situations that are as good as dead, and then speaking a promise of hope into that. Because he knows that when that promise is fulfilled, well, no one else can take the credit for that, and no one but him can receive the praise and the glory that comes from that. There's a great book by Chris Hodges, who's a pastor and author. He's the leader of one of the biggest churches in America. The book is called Four Cups, God's Timeless Promises for a life of fulfillment. And in the book, he says that God's promises are real. And when life doesn't make sense, we must hold on to those promises as the basis of our faith in God and our hope for what he's going to do. Later on in the book, he also writes and says that faith is not simply a mental agreement with a set of facts. It's a firm reliance and trust in a person, namely God, and his ability to do what he says he will do. Faith is leaning and depending on God and his promises. So we have to trust the God who gives the promise. We have to have faith in the promise. But thirdly, is wait patiently for the fulfillment. Wait patiently for the fulfillment. You know, I think by far this is the hardest aspect of God's promises for us. It's the waiting period. That time frame between receiving the promise through His Word or the Holy Spirit and the fulfillment of that promise. And, you know, very often God doesn't put a time frame on it, because if He does, well, I guess there's probably less faith required. You know, sometimes God does give a time frame, but most often He doesn't. He simply asks us to trust Him by faith and then wait patiently. You know, and I think initially we're happy to wait, because I think even God's promises have a honeymoon period, you know, where we're excited and we're anticipating that any day now things are going to fall into place. God's promise is going to come through, and we wait, and then we wait some more, and we keep waiting, and nothing happens. You all know that feeling. But look what Hebrews 6:13 says. It says, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in His own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. And then watch verse 15. It says, then Abraham waited patiently. Notice, he waited patiently, and because of that, the Bible says, and he received what God had promised. You know, church, we cannot receive what God has promised without waiting patiently for His timing. And unfortunately, there's no way to speed up the waiting process. You know, we see from the book of Genesis that even Abraham and Sarah had to learn this the hard way, because at one point they also grew impatient with waiting. In fact, the Bible tells us in Genesis 16 that Sarah at some point gave her servant Hagar to Abraham so that he could have children through her. And although Ishmael was born from that union, I mean, you would know it created a whole lot of trouble for Abraham and Sarah. And Ishmael was never the fulfillment of God's promise. I think so many times we derail the promises of God simply because we decide that we've waited long enough. And clearly, I mean, God must have mixed things up. And so we make a plan that is contradictory to the promise of God. And then unfortunately, we have to live with the consequences. Remember that God's plans are for our good. They are intended to bless us and help us and move us forward in life. But if we ditch the plan, we derail the promise. And then we end up with a whole lot of unnecessary trouble and pain in our lives. You know, over the years, we've seen many people in church who've been believing for a husband or a wife get tired of waiting for that man or that woman to come. And because they think that God has forgotten them, they get involved with someone that God never intended for them to get involved with. Ladies, can I just speak to you for a moment? Don't settle for some squally just because you think your shelf life is up. If God has spoken to you about a husband, wait for someone who loves the Lord and who wants to serve Him and worship Him. And then the Lord will bring that man into your life. But don't short circuit the good promises of God. You know, for some of you, God has perhaps given you a promise about running your own business. But don't step out before the timing is right. You know, we've seen many people quit their jobs because, well, they don't like their boss and they don't like being told what to do, or they're just tired of waiting. And so they jump the gun, they step out on their own, and then they make a mess of something good that God had promised, and very often lose a lot of money in the process and end up going into debt. Wait patiently for the timing of the promise to be fulfilled. You know, Genesis 21, verse 1 and 2, such amazing verses of Scripture to encourage us today. It says, the Lord kept His word. I want you to remember that. The Lord kept His word and did for Sarah exactly what He had promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened at just the time that God said it would. Isn't that wonderful? At just the time that God said it would. You know, I recently ordered a fairly expensive item from takealot.com. And I placed the order online. I made the payment. And I was then told that my order would be dispatched the following week. But the moment that order was placed, that item was already mine. I just had to wait for the delivery. I mean, I hadn't physically received it yet, but I knew that it was mine. And what I didn't do was, you know, I didn't sit at home thinking, oh, I wonder if it's going to get delivered. Oh, I wonder if the driver's going to find my house. What if he delivers it to someone else? I wasn't sitting at home thinking, oh, I wonder if I can trust these guys. Maybe it's not going to arrive. Maybe I should just cancel that online order and physically go to the shop and try buy another one just in case this one doesn't come. No, I had already received confirmation that the order was mine. I just had to wait patiently. Now, the order may have got slightly delayed or the driver may have taken longer to arrive than what I'd hoped, but the item was guaranteed to be delivered. I had complete confidence in that, and of course it did come. And really, isn't that how God's promises work? Once He's promised them to us and they've been activated by faith, the order is processed. We simply have to wait and be patient. Church, never forget that our actions reveal what we truly believe. If we believe that God has already given us His promises by faith, well, then we should live as if the package has already been delivered. Kenneth Copeland, the American pastor, puts it like this. He says that faith opens the door to God's promises for you, and patience keeps it open until that promise is fulfilled. You know, very, very importantly, don't forget this, is don't do nothing while you're waiting. We must keep doing what we've been doing. You know, I love the fact that Abraham and Sarah didn't wait for an immaculate conception, or they didn't wait for the stork to deliver a baby to the front of their tent. No, they did what they needed to do as often as they were able to do it in their old age. Come on, that's what they did. But it was evidence of their faith as they waited. And then, of course, God supernaturally did what only He can do. You know, if today you're a single person waiting for a godly spouse, then wait patiently. But don't do nothing while you wait. Keep looking after your appearance. Stay fit, stay healthy, look after your body. Don't just let it kind of all hang out because, hey, you know, God said, my man package is on the way, or my wife package is in the post. No, look after yourself. Be a good friend to others. Be sociable as much as the restrictions allow you to go out in groups. Develop yourself. If you've got issues, work on them now rather than taking them into the relationship in the hope that, oh, maybe the other person will fix me up. It doesn't work like that. Do what you can and then trust God to do what only He can do. You know, if you're waiting to start a business, well, don't slack off now and do nothing. Stay loyal to the person you're working for. Don't burn bridges that you may one day need to walk over. Keep your working relationships in good order and then wait for God's timing to step through that door of opportunity to receive the promise. You know, if you're waiting for healing in your body today, don't do nothing. Don't just say, well, God said He'd heal me, so now it doesn't matter what I put into my body. No, eat well. Put good, healthy, nutritious foods into your body. Get regular exercise. Take your medication if you've been given it. Use wisdom. Do what you can do and what you need to do, and then wait on God for the fulfillment of the promise. You know, if like many people today, you're waiting for a promotion at work, can I encourage you to wait well? You know, there's so many examples in Scripture of people who had to wait for many years for a promotion after God had made them a promise. I think two of the most well-known is obviously David, firstly, who had to wait 22 years to become king of all Israel after being anointed and given the promise at a young age. The Bible also speaks of Joseph, who waited 13 years once God had given him the promise in a dream until he saw the fulfillment. And listen, for both David and Joseph, during the waiting period, they both had to navigate much difficulty and hardship in their lives. But the Bible shows that both Joseph and David stayed faithful and they held on to the promise of God. And listen, because they waited well, God promoted them both way beyond anything they could have done on their own. Can I encourage you one more time today? Trust in the Lord who gives the promise. Then also believe by faith, even when it seems impossible. And then so importantly, wait patiently for the fulfillment. There's a great book called Waiting on God by the great South African preacher Andrew Murray. And in the book, he says this. He says, give God his glory by resting in him, by trusting him fully, by waiting patiently for him. This patience honors him greatly. It leaves him as God on the throne to do his work. It yields self wholly into his hands. It lets God be God. Isn't that wonderful, eh? And I'm going to pray in a moment for anyone who wants to receive God's promise of salvation. The Bible says that God became man in Jesus. He lived a sinless life and then he died on a cross, shedding his blood for our sins. But he was also raised from the dead so that you and I have the hope of eternal life. But again, this amazing promise of salvation can only be accessed by faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible reminds us in 1 Peter 1 verse 8. It says, you love him, speaking of the Lord Jesus, even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And then verse 9 says that the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Friend, if you're ready to repent of your sins and open your heart to Jesus now, then I'd love to pray for you in a moment and commit you to God. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you are for me. Lord, thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. Today I confess Jesus as Lord. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. And the Bible says, because of that, today I am saved. Thank you that your blood was shed to pay the price for all my sins. Today I surrender to you in full, Lord. I have a hope and a future because the Bible says I'm now a new creation. Thank you for the promise of eternal life. I give myself to you for your service. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.